Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Black Friday brought to you by PNC. Make today the day. It's the Cook and Joe show. And the Steelers have a big game at Cincinnati. I feel like we've talked about a lot of things around the game this week, Ron. But just the nature of it itself, they almost have to win if they want a shot at the division, because the math becomes very iffy if they lose. They'd be 0-2-1 in the division, correct?
Yeah, exactly. And that's not good. And they'd be, what, 2-3-1 overall, and the Bengals would be 5-1. You'd have a three-game advantage for them in the win column. It's a very important game, no doubt. And as, again, I point out, 17-3 at Paul Brown Stadium, the Steelers. I did my Sunday column. It's online now about everything that happened in the game last year. Everybody remembers it for the Shazier game, but so much else happened in that game. And I don't know that it's going to be quite as dramatic. It's not a night game. Last year was a Monday night game. I think Monday night games under the lights are always more, I don't know, emotional, would you say? Or
absolutely. It's a heightened atmosphere.
Absolutely in that. Now, how are the Steelers going to react going in there? How's Shazier going to react walking onto that field? Who would have ever thought when he was carted off last year, that a year, not even a year later, it happened December 4th, that he'd be walking back into that stadium. What a recovery.
Man. And that's all I hope for, really.
That kid. He never once seemingly, at least publicly, never felt sorry for himself. Did all the rehab, continues to do all the rehab. He's convinced he's going to play again. I'm not quite sure about that. But, hey, God bless him for making the recovery he has. And I'm sure it's going to be a very emotional time for him and his teammates when they walk into that stadium.
Yeah, just the nature of sports and the nature really of life is that you see Ryan Shazier wherever he might be, at looking at it on TV or if I'm at a practice, there he is. It's like, oh, yeah, there's Ryan, part of the team. And then I remember walking behind him. I think it was 2 weeks ago. After practice into the locker room and watching him and thinking, wow, this guy is still going through, obviously, a lot.
Absolutely. I mean, maybe it was Butler yesterday talked about it, about how far he's come. He's still got a long way to go. But I think he's an inspiration to everybody, to his teammates. I think to anybody out there that you have something bad happen to you, you don't give in. You don't feel sorry for yourself. You just go about trying to deal with it the best you can. I find him incredibly inspirational.
Yeah, it's at once a really sad and really uplifting story just to watch him.
Pretty good description of it, Joe. I think that's sad but uplifting. You're right.
The way that he's bounced back with right from the beginning, Ron, the spirit that he showed. Remember they beat Baltimore last year, and I think that's when the video came out of him from his hospital room. And the determination that he had, just amazing. And
well, you know what? His father's a minister, right?
Yep.
And I think he was brought up in a family of deep faith, and I think he is a man of deep faith. And there's no doubt, and I'm sure in his mind, that that has contributed to his recovery.
Just him walking again. That first sight of him actually walking was something that, I mean, who could
have
known
that
we'd
really
see
saw
it?
The NFL draft, right? When
yeah.
he walked across the stadium.
I think so.
What is it going to be like when he see him walking into that stadium on
Man,
Sunday?
I can't imagine what's going to be going through his mind, because the other side.
And how about his teammates? I think they're going to think about it a little bit too. I talked to DeCastro about this, and he goes, I said, how hard was it to play? He goes, it's really hard. You know, they had to play like 56 minutes of that game. It happened on the second Bengals, second play of the game. He tackled Josh Malone, routine tackle would look like. And then all of a sudden, everybody's on the field praying for him. And I said to DeCastro, how hard was it to keep going? He goes, it's real hard. You see one of your teammates laying down like that, you don't know how seriously he's hurt. You start questioning everything. but you got to be a pro. And he goes, it's a lot easier said than done. We're human.
And the sad part is, you know, that he's not playing, and that one of, I think he would have been and was well on his way to being one of the great linebackers in the history of a franchise that has had some pretty great linebackers.
Had some great ones.
And he was something.
Just
to
that
see.
Speed. You worried about him not being able to stay healthy. I know I don't mean that to be flip, because I'm talking about pulling a hamstring, a shoulder, because he's not the biggest man out there. And he had some injury problems before. But his sideline to sideline quickness and ability to cover tight ends and backs, and then, you know, yet still stick his nose in the hole and make a play. He was an incredible player. That's why he was a number one pick. Now, not all of them turn out to be great, but I think he was well on his way.
And losing him was just an unimaginable jolt for this defense and change. It really was. And, you know, I've been critical of Keith Butler, Mike Tomlin, a lot of the players on that defense for the way things have gone really since that Jacksonville game in the playoffs. But sometimes I think, am I just underestimating? If they lost Troy Polamalu in his prime, what would that have been like? If an offense loses a quarterback, yeah, you can have a whole off season to replace a guy. You're not replacing that guy.
Nope.
Did they do enough? Probably not, although I still think the jury's out on this defense. But he was a special player.
Absolutely. I mean that's and that's, I think that we saw what happened when he was out last year. They had to bring in Sean Spence off the street. And I'm not blaming him. I mean, he just came in, did the best he could, but they never really had a chance to recover last year. Now, your point about did they do enough, maybe not.
Could they have gotten somebody better than Bostic? Maybe they could have drafted better.
Well, they would have had more money if they hadn't have put the tag on Le'Veon or a couple free agents that went.
Right.
I don't know that they would have been better.
I think Bostic has actually been pretty good.
For the most part, I do too. I do too. Better than I anticipated.
I think what they've needed in the games where it hasn't happened is the high pedigreed guys to simply play better, whether it was Tuitt, whether it was a couple of games and not seeing Watt, not seeing Dupree, whoever it might be. Sean Davis had his struggles. Artie Burns, obviously. There's a lot of high pedigreed guys that needed and still need to play better and more consistently. And I have a feeling that this defense might have turned a corner against Atlanta. What do you think, Ron?
One game. You know, we talked to Chris Hoke about that the other day. He goes, I'm not going to all of a sudden say they're a great defense based on one game. I want to see more, but it's something to build on. I mean, absolutely, it's something to build on. I'm assuming Hayden's going to follow A.J. Green around just like he did Julio Jones
better
last week, and that seems to make sense to me.
But if you had to lean one way or the other, did they turn a corner? Are they going to be good moving forward here, or are they not? I think they have a chance to be pretty good. I think they are. I think they turned a corner.
You're going to make me say yes or no.
I mean, yeah, we could always say I'm going to wait to see how the season plays out.
I am not ready to say
that.
That
won't leave us much to talk about in the meantime.
I will say no. I'm not convinced of that. No.
So they go against a pretty good defense this week, but not a great one. I think the one they played last week.
Pretty good offense.
Yeah, pretty good offense. I think the one last week was better. You?
Yeah. I mean, Julio Jones was Matt Ryan. They were lights out. Matt Ryan just didn't seem right to me, did he? And they got a lot of pressure on him.
That's why he didn't seem right.
I think they got into, you know, he seemed to be looking for the rush more than his receivers, which I wouldn't have expected from a guy with his ability and a guy who, he was, what, MVP of the league a couple years ago,
yeah,
right?
I thought it was an impressive performance. And
oh, absolutely, it was impressive.
I think there's a lot to build on moving forward. And the next step I would like to see is for a guy like Artie Burns to regain his job fully and start to play, because we've seen flashes of it in his career. I thought Sean Davis played well and that he was barely noticeable, which I think a lot of times is good for a safety. So I'm encouraged. Now watch them go get lit up for 8 touchdowns this weekend. But I am encouraged with what I saw, and I think they're going to play a good game Sunday. It was interesting to hear T.J. Watt talk about how they were in pads last week and how that helped and how they were again this week. You know, you can't really do that as much as you could
before.
You
can't beat the heck out of them, and it's a long season, you know. Yeah, I mean, I think that they practiced harder last week, paid a little more attention to detail, right? That's what they always talk about. It paid off last week, no doubt.
Who do you think is the guy in that defense they could least afford to lose moving forward?
Well, I still think it's Cam. I think he's their best player.
I think it's Hayden.
Certainly that's a great call, too. We saw what happened when he was out last year. I mean, they got beat for long passes, a lot of yards they gave up. Then he came back and they tightened it up, and then Shazier went down. I would, you know, on second thought, I would probably agree with you.
Top of the hour, Ed Bouchette had a very interesting story about Steelers not in the Hall of Fame. And how would you rate him and rank them in terms of who's deserving? Steelers currently not in the Hall of Fame. Who should be? I thought Ed made some great points in his piece, and we'll talk about it coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.